You're listening to the Ask Ava podcast, where we give real answers to real questions from teens and young adults about relationships, consent, dating violence, and more. I'm Jessica Scoltetti. I'm an outreach and community engagement manager at Safe and Sound Somerset. We're an organization in Somerset County, New Jersey, that offers free services for anybody who has witnessed or experienced violence. And we work with children, teens, and adults. So today we have a very special guest. I'd like to introduce Victor Peralta, who is also an outreach and community engagement manager. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very, very well and happy to take part in your podcast. Actually, in our podcast.
That's right. Our podcast. Yes. So this is a question we have today that we get pretty often. And I'd love if you could talk about why you think that is. So today's question is, Dear Ava, how can I stop questioning that abuse happened to me? So I'd love to throw it to you, Victor, first.
I love to be part of this topic. One of the things that I want to throw out there first is abuse is never your fault. It is never your fault. So let me throw that out there. If you're going through something, some bad things, it is never your fault. You can feel confused. You're going to feel angry, ashamed, or trapped. You were probably conditioned to believe that it was your fault, but I'm here to say to you, hopefully if you're listening to this, you can get some valuable information. This is not your fault. There you go. That's what I want to say. It is not your fault. You were conditioned to believe that it's your fault, but it is not your fault.
Yeah, and I love what you said about there are some things that people can do to help heal or to at least, like this person said in the question, stop questioning that it actually happened. So I was hoping one thing that I'd like to bring up to start is talking about documenting. So what that means to us in this field, it means that you're writing down or typing, right? What happened to you? If this is an abusive relationship, and this is going on over time, you know, this happens to teens and adults, right? You can write down what happened, when it happened, where it happened, so that you can look back at that and then say, oh yeah, I remember writing this and it did happen, right? And then like, Victor, what do you think about, like, where should people store these kinds of notes, do you think?
That's a very good question. The minute you start accepting that abuse is not your fault, and the second thing you have to do is have self-compassion for yourself and accept that the abuse is not your fault. The third thing from the order of answering your question, Jessica, documenting in the system that you probably have that best works for you. So it can be a diary. As long as there's a secret place that you can have that, you do not want the abuser to find your documentation as far as keeping track of what's going on. If you have a better system, like in your phone, I would probably recommend that, particularly depending on what phone you have. Actually, both the iPhone and the Google type phones, you can actually have a key, almost like a security key, so that you can be the only one that can actually access the notes, if you know what I'm saying. But documenting, acknowledging the truth, and starting the process of experiencing the acceptance that the abuse that's happening to you is not your fault. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, I feel that the healing will begin, in my opinion. And you're going to start finding ways to kind of have a toolkit, if you will, because everything happens with a toolkit. So that will be my recommendation, actually.
Yeah, those are some great suggestions. And I also recommend, this is something I heard from a client. If there's someone you trust in your life, maybe they're not even reading the information, right? But if there's someone you can send that documentation to, so that you don't have it in case your partner or somebody unsafe is accessing your phone in some way, that could be another option. And I'd love to kind of get into that part of this question, which is like, we believe that I don't want to speak just for you, Victor, but we've talked about this. We believe that you have the option to reach out to folks who support you. Like, even though it's difficult, it's scary, find a friend or a trusted adult who can support you, or you can call or text our helpline to talk with somebody. So, Victor, is there anything you'd want to add to that part of this question? Like how people can reach out, like why it's important?
Well, first of all, I love your idea about sending it to potentially to somebody that can kind of keep the records of what's going on with you. The second thing is developing a toolkit that can involve trusted friends, trusted family members, and most important of all, in case you don't have that support system, get acquiring a support system of agencies that can help you. Because mm-hmm. you might be here by yourself. You might not actually have anybody. You might not have friends. But an agency like ourselves, for example, Safe and Sound, Somerset, would be a very good start for somebody that has zero resources and they're completely isolated to the point that they feel that they can't turn into anybody. Well, you know, guess what? You can turn to us. Mm-hmm. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, thank you for that. Absolutely. I think it is really important to know that there are people out there who will support you, and they don't even have to know all the information, right? But it does take some strength sometimes to reach out to folks who care for you or who can support you. And we just want to encourage people to do that as one of the ways that you can validate that this is going on for you, right? And that this is hurting you, right? And then I was also hoping we could talk about the last thing for me, which is gaslighting. So I think something interesting from my perspective is when I started working here a few years ago, nobody was talking about what gaslighting is. So I was hoping we could talk about what that means, because when this person asks this question, they may be gaslit by their partner or by society or their family into, that didn't happen to you. What are you talking about, right? They may also be gaslighting themselves, and that's not their fault, right? Because that's sometimes like our brain's way of protecting us from trauma and from difficulty. So Victor, how would you describe, to put you on the spot here, what gaslighting is?
Gaslighting, if I can describe it very quickly, would be, it becomes a problem very slowly. So gaslighting is a form of manipulation that often occurs in abusive relationships. And basically emotional abuse happens, bullying, misleading of the reality, sometimes creating some form of false narrative and making you question your own judgment of reality. So ultimately, the victim of gaslighting starts to feel insecure about their perceptions of the world and even wonder if they're losing their sanity. So mm-hmm. that's the part that I want to share, because it happens so slowly that one day you wake up and you're like, wow, all these things are happening now. They were not happening 7 months ago, but yet all these things are happening now. So please be warned. It happens slowly, and there will be a time that you're going to wake up and say, wow, this actually happened over an extended period of time, and it's not okay. It is completely not okay. The perception of reality was changed for you. That was not your sense of reality. Somebody decided that they were going to gaslight you and confuse you to the point of affecting your self-esteem, your mental stability, and now you're in a situation that is completely unacceptable.
Absolutely. And a lot of people recognize that gaslighting is a problem these days, but I think it's still hard for us to define. So I actually came up with a list of some common phrases that people either say to themselves, or they hear from partners who are abusing them, or their family, or whoever. So here are some things that we hear often in the field of violence prevention. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do that to you. I didn't say that, although that person did, right? That person is so nice. They would never hurt you. It was the alcohol's fault. That's not true. I'm sorry, I was just drunk. It won't happen again, right? These are things that people say to themselves. Well, mostly, most of those are from like a partner, right? Who's abusing, but It can be really hard. And I think that's what this question is getting at, is like someone is being gaslit into thinking they're not being abused or that it didn't happen. And it's really hard, but like we want people to know that there is help available. So just remember that you're worthy of respect and safety now, right? It was a partner's choice to treat you that way, or it was somebody's choice to sexually assault you. It wasn't your fault, like Victor was saying earlier. So, Victor, before we give information about our services, is there anything you wanted to add?
Sure. I would like to add, and this is my opinion, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people will agree. I think that people, and this is actually like a warning almost, people who engage in gaslighting are often habitual and pathological liars and frequently exhibit narcissistic tendencies. So just remember that you're making things up, or that never happened, or you're crazy. All these things are done on purpose to distort your reality. And it's good to keep track of that, because the only reality you know is the one you want for yourself. You can't allow somebody to tell you what the reality is. So I would like to add that.
Well, thank you for that. And I think it's important. This is actually a different topic that we're doing on Ask Ava, but related to narcissism, I want to be really clear that not every abuser is a narcissist. Not that you said that, but I think that's something people say a lot, and we don't really talk about that. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, look for the recent Ask Ava episode about that. But before we go, I just want to mention again that Safe and Sound Somerset services are free. We talk to people on the helpline. We offer services, virtual, in person, depends what the services are, right? But our helpline is open 24/7, and that number is here at the bottom of the screen. It's call or text 866-685-1122. So on that note, if you're a person who's dealing with this and you're questioning yourself, please know that there's help available when you want it, if you want it, and reach out for support. So I just want to thank you again so much, Victor, for being here today and for this great conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me as always.
To speak with an expert about relationship or sexual violence, call or text the Safe and Sound Somerset 24/7 confidential helpline at 866-685-1122 for supportive listening, information, and safety planning. In the United States, you can also call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233 or the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-4673. Want to ask Ava a question? Submit it at www.safe-sound.org/ask-Ava. Thank you for listening today. Join us next time here on Ask Ava.